Chinese Premier Xi Jinping is pressing on with his trillion-dollar infrastructure plan some are calling the most ambitious development in history. Called the Belt and Road Initiative, it's aiming to transform the ancient Silk Road into a modern trading route. Representatives from over 70 countries gathered in China over the weekend to discuss investment in the scheme, but so far Australia has not committed to the project. Reporter Shane Anderson spoke to Professor James Lawrenson, Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute, to find out more.
The One Belt, One Road initiative, it's kind of popped up over the weekend, but it's not a new idea. When did this first come about?
Yeah, so President Xi Jinping, China's president, announced it for the first time in Indonesia back in 2013. So you're right, it's been bubbling for a few years now. Last weekend we had the big summit in Beijing, which has really brought it to a head.
It seems a bit timely because we've had the big Western powers kind of turning inward and now China's making this big move outward. Is this intentional timing?
It's a bit of both. I'm sure China does see some advantages in pushing this initiative now. In America, it's America first. That's what Donald Trump says. And the contrast with what China and China's President Xi Jinping is saying is very stark. President Xi Jinping's talking about an open global economy, cooperation across countries. It's quite a different narrative.
Talk us through what the initiative actually entails.
Yeah, so the big emphasis is better infrastructure throughout the region. Now, that's important because if you look at what's happened to barriers to trade over the last two decades, such as tariffs, they've actually fallen a lot. But what stops trade taking place now is often just a bad infrastructure, ports, railways, roads, those sorts of things. The Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank says that the region needs $1.7 trillion worth of infrastructure each year to meet its needs. So it's a timely initiative.
And what is this doing for Xi Jinping? What is he hoping to achieve with this?
Oh, I think it's part of his narrative of placing China as a leading player on the global stage. China is the world's second largest economy now, but for a long time it punched under its weight. You could argue it deliberately didn't get involved in a lot of leadership issues. Now I think Xi Jinping has decided it's time for China to step up.
So we've seen over the weekend this summit that's been attended by representatives from 70 different countries. Which countries do you think will see the most enthusiasm for the initiative?
Yeah, look, we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm from Southeast Asian countries, and I think from Australia's perspective, that's very important. Some commentators in Australia have said, well, our leader wasn't there, and that's okay because there weren't a lot of Western leaders there. I'd probably argue that's misplaced. If you look at the Indonesian president, he was there. Malaysia, Vietnam, Philippines, of course, they have heated territorial disputes with China in the South China Sea, but all their leaders were there. I think that tells you something.
Right. I mean, the Trade Minister, Steve Chobo, is in China talking free trade with that nation. Should we be seizing this opportunity?
Yeah, I think so. And to give Minister Chobo credit, he's said that he sees the benefits of the Belt and Road strategy, but you're right. Australia's engagement with the Belt and Road Initiative is restrained. For example, it contrasts with what New Zealand has done. In March, the New Zealand government signed a memorandum of understanding with China on the Belt and Road Initiative. They're now looking to push that ahead. Now, Australia specifically declined to do similarly and sign an MOU. So we're holding back a bit. And this is a bit of an Australian pattern. We did it on the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, signing up eventually. And we're kind of repeating the same process with this Belt and Road Initiative.
What countries do you think are least interested in this? I mean, we've heard from India there's been a bit of backlash.
Yeah, and I think India has got some genuine and serious concerns. Their concerns relate to territorial issues around the Belt and Road Initiative, and I think those are fair enough. Those concerns are to be taken very seriously. The ones that worry me more are concerns expressed by, say, the US. The US, of course, is very hesitant about the Belt and Road Initiative, seeing it as an attempt to displace it as the dominant power in Asia. The problem with that narrative is, though, is that China said that America's invited. So it's a bit hard to say it's an attempt to displace you when you're actually invited to take part.
You do look at American expansion tends to be in military, but China tends to take on a more economic character. Could you say that this plan is a form of economic imperialism?
Oh, I wouldn't call it imperialism because it's based on cooperation. China cannot do anything in another country without getting the agreement of that country. Think about Chinese investment in Australia. Chinese companies just can't come in here and build whatever they want and bring in Chinese labourers to build it, right? That's impossible. Australian rules and regulations prevent it. So I think China understands that the only way this initiative is going to get traction and be successful is if it gets buy-in and cooperation from other countries.
It's a huge infrastructure plan. Do we have any timeline of when we might start to see the Silk Road in action?
Yeah, well, there was a ratings company earlier this year, Fitch, who came out with some numbers, and they said that they've already counted $900 billion worth of projects either begun or in the planning stages. Last Sunday, in welcoming the delegates to the summit in Beijing, President Xi Jinping committed another $150 billion to the endeavour. So these are very large numbers. I think they're too large for Australia not to take it seriously.
Is it realistic, though? I mean, these are huge sums.
It is realistic because the needs are so great. The truth is, even the Belt and Road Initiative, even all the resources that China has at its disposal, they won't be enough. China needs to partner with other countries.
That was Professor James Lawrenson, Deputy Director of the Australia-China Institute, speaking with Wire reporter Shane Anderson.